be a big cast call. It's much longer than you think. It's not okay. So where do we leave off? We left off over here. I need Bez Mebez. Question 12. How do we explain the machlokes of Rishonim about whether you can be misachik with something which is mekabel tuma only midrabban? So the Gemara told us over here in your Bez Medalf at the top, based on the pasuk, that that a person is supposed to keep the Yom Tov Sukkos at the time of the gathering from the fields of the wheat and the grapes. So the Gemara derives that one is only allowed to use a schach, stuff that would be the psoilas, migarin v'yekev. So the stuff that would be the psoilas of the wheat and the grapes. So the grape vines and the wheat stalks, obviously without the food items in it. Meaning it has to be something that's not mekabel tumah. What if it's only mekabel tuma midrabanan? So that's a discussion over here on Yudbeis Mebeis, because the Gemara says you're not allowed. You can use for schach chitzin zecharim, which are, if you remember, we discussed the spears that were used at war, and there would be the metal handle of the spear with the wooden handle with the metal blade, and the wooden handle would be inserted into the metal blade. The metal blade had a receptacle to accept the wooden handle. So the wooden handles, the chit and zecharim, that don't have any receptacle, can be used as schach. So Taisvis asks, why can they be used as schach? But there's a Gemara in Baba Basra that tells us, a flat piece of wood, daf shel nachtumim, a baker's board, is mekabel, even though it's no receptacle, it's mekabel, meaning it can't accept anything, can't hold anything, there's no base kibul, it's still mekabel tuma midrabanan. So Taisa says, shouldn't these chitzim zecharim also be mekabel tuma midrabanan and should be no good for schach? And Taisa answers earlier, he references to his comment earlier on Hamad Aleph, where he says, no, that's different. The daf shel nachtumim, at least you can put something on the baker's board. So that's mekabel tuma midrabanan. These chitzim zecharim are no good for anything. You can't put anything on it, so it's not even mekabel tuma midrabanan. But Taisa's assumption was that even something which is mekabel tuma midrabanan is no good for schach. And the Trumas Hadeshen and Mordechai disagree that if something is only mekabel tuma midrabanan, it is good for schach. Who said that mekabel tuma midrabanan is no good? It's only if it's no good midrairaisa. Why should one say that? So we explain the name of the Sfas Emes, that it's because they understood that the problem with something that's mekabel tuma for schach is not because it's mekabel tuma. That's not, as we would, in yeshivish jargon, we would say, that's not a siba. That's not the reason why it's no good. It's a simon, that it's not psoilas garen v'yekev. But over here, it's not similar to the paradigmatic schach of the waste from the wheat stalk and the grapevine. But if it's only mekabel tuma midrabanan, it is similar to psoilas garen v'yekev, and it would be good for schach. So again, Taisa's opinion is, by the chitzin zecharim, that they can't hold anything, but a flat wooden board that could you could put something on it would be mekabel tuma midrabanan and would be no good for schach, even if it's just mekabel tuma midrabanan. And the Trumas Hadeshen disagrees. If it's only mekabel tuma midrabanan, it's not a problem. And we explained that the machlokes is, what do we derive from ba'aspecha migarn chamiyikvecha, that sukkah is celebrated at the time that you gather in from the field, that you should build the sukkah with stuff that you gather in from the field that's not mekabel tuma. Are we deriving that the fact that it's mekabel tuma itself disqualifies it for schach, in which case even if it's only mekabel tuma, the rabbanon? Or are we deriving not that if it's mekabel tuma, it disqualifies from you being used as schach, but if it's mekabel tuma, that's a sign, that's a simon, that it's not similar to psoas garen v'yekman, that's why it's no good. But therefore, if that would be the case, if it's only mekabel tuma midrabanan, it is similar to psoas garen v'yekev midrairaisa, would be good for schach. All right, that was question 12. Fun discussion. And that same daf over there, Yud Beis Mud Beis, is 13. The Gemara said that the metal tip, the metal blade at the top of the spear, has a receptacle. So the chitz and the kevois, which can hold something, is no good for schach, besides the fact that it's metal. It's also, which is mekabel tuma, it also has a receptacle. So Gemara says, even though that receptacle is only made to hold the spear, the wooden handle, it's still considered to be a receptacle. We said what the Gemara describes as base kibul ha'osi lamalos. See, a bowl, a fruit bowl, does not only to hold fruit. You could put chips, you could put beans, you could put jelly beans, you could put whatever you want in the fruit bowl. So that's not osi lamalos. This blade has an indentation for the spear. So it's osi lamalos. It's only used for the spear. That's what it's used for. And it's going to be attached later when you'll go to battle. You have, sometimes you see on the walls in these old homes, you have weapons on the wall. That was how you welcome people into your home, by showing them your arsenal. So they had weapons on the wall, and they'd have a spear, and then they'd have the blades, and they'd leave them separate. When they go to war, they put the two together and go to battle. So it's a base keyboard, also the malo. The Gemara says, doesn't matter, it's still no good. It's still makabel tumah. Even though it's destined to be filled. So Taisvis asks, but there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says if you have a leather ball or leather or mold that you use to make bags or things, so it's not Mekabel Tuma, even though the bag has a receptacle because it's made to hold certain things. It's only made in order to make that mold. And since it's made to hold the mold, you're going to stuff it with clothing, and it's going to be stuffed like that. It's made to hold only the clothing. It's not made as a sack to carry around potatoes or something. It's only made to hold those items. Then it's not makabel tumah. That's called base kibur. So the malos is not makabel tumah. So that's the stira, the contradiction Tosis says. Our Gemara says base kibur. So the malos receptacle is destined to be filled is still makabel tumah. But yet the Gemara in Sanhedrin says if it's osi the malos, then it's not makabel tumah. And we said some treat it just like Zamachlaikas. However, the question was, according to some Rishonim and Achrayim, when is a base kibul also the malos chashav base kibul? When is it not considered a base kibul? Some resolve the contradiction between our Gemara and the Gemara in Sanhedrin in two ways. One possibility is, the Meiri says, that it's because this spear isn't going to remain attached forever. You're going to put the spear together with the blade, then detach it. Put it together, then detach it. That's still a base kibul. Even though it's only made for one item, you're not going to leave it like that forever. Here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, once you make the mold, you make the mold and you leave it like that. You don't take out the stuffing from the mold. So if it's going to last forever, base kibul, osi lamalos, you know, for as long as the life of the item, then base kibul, osi lamalos is a base kibul. If it's not going to last forever, then a base kibul ha'osi lamalos is still a base kibul. If it's going to last forever, then it's not. That was one resolution we had. The Aruch Lener distinguishes a different way. He says we're talking about in our Gemara, the reason why it's still a problem is because we're talking about before it's been filled. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is after it's been filled. After it's been filled, it's no longer a base kibul. Before it's been filled, it is a base kibul. See, a bowl, even after it's holding fruit, is still a bowl. A mold, once it's holding its item that it's meant to be holding, is no longer a bag. Because it's a mold now. Whereas a bowl, even if it's full, is still a bowl. The mold, even after it's full, is no longer a mold. It's no longer a bag, I'm sorry. It's a mold. It's a whole separate item, okay? So we had a contradiction. Our Gemara says a receptacle that is meant to hold items is still a receptacle. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says a mold that's meant to be stuffed with a bag, a leather bag that's made to be stuffed and made into a mold, is not Mekabel Tumah, because it's destined to be filled. So which is it? So we suggested two possible resolutions. The Meiri says, again, if it's meant to be filled and last like that forever, never to be detached again for the life of the item, then that's not a base kibul, and that's what Gemara is discussing Sanhedrin. If it's meant to be attached and detached, like the spear, then it is mekabel tumah. Another distinction is the Aruch Lener, is that Gemara is talking about something that is already filled. And when it's destined to be filled with the same item, and it's already filled, it's over. Our Gemara is talking about something that's just destined to be filled, but it hasn't been filled yet. It's right now detached. So therefore, it is mekabel tumah. Those are the two possible distinctions. That's the answer. Okay, 14. That has to do with anitzei pishtan. The Gemara says at the bottom of Yabez and Mabez that anitzei pishtan are no good for schach. Anitzei pishtan are flax thread. is no good for schach. Why is flax thread no good for schach? After all, it grows from the ground. So Rashi and Tosfos say the reason why flax thread is no good for schach, you know, flax, which is taken and woven into thread, no good, is because it's mekabel tumas negoim. Even though clothing regular tumah has to be woven into a garment in order to be mekabel tumah, there's a special gzeres hakosuv in the Torah, it's a pasuk in Chumash and Parshas Tazria, that tumas negoim, it doesn't have to be tumah nige begadim, doesn't have to apply only to, applies not only to full woven garments, even just threads, spools of thread. Shesi o erev, the Chumash says, can also be mekabel tumas negoim. But only if it's made out of pishtan, flax, or sheep's wool. It's xeris akosiv, not anything we devised. Xeris akosiv, only sheep's wool and flax. Okay, so those, one of the two, though, is flax. So flax thread is mekabel tumas negoim. That's why it's no good for schach. That's Rashi and Tosfos. The Rambam gives a different answer. The Rambam explains why anitzei pishtan apsulim for schach is because even though it grows from the ground, tumas negoim, come on, that's not what mekabel tumah means. Mekabel tumah means regular tumah, not tumas negoim. We'll start with tumas negoim. Everything is houses are mekabel tumah. There's tumas begodim. No, not tumas negoim. That's too far. Rather, the Rambam says the reason why anitzei pishtan are no good for schach is because even though it grows from the ground, it's been altered and changed. It's not in the same form anymore. The only time it's considered to be gidule karka, stuff that grows from the ground, if it's still in its original form. If it's been changed, it's no good. What will the difference be? So the Shilta Givarim claims, and this comes up by anybody who uses twine in their sukkah, this difference will be, what about twine. Twine is made out of hemp, which is neither flax nor sheep's wool. Or if you use string made out of cotton. Cotton is known as tzemer gefen. So those two items are not makabel tumas negoim. For Rashi and Tosfos it won't be a problem. But for the Rambam it still will be a problem, because it's already been changed. It's not in the same form that it was in when it grew from the ground. Okay, so the Shilta Givarim, and that comes up all the time. Anything that's made out of string, which is usually cotton, or hemp, or twine, which is hemp, or cannabis. So these items would depend on the Rambam and Rashi. That's why many places can discuss this issue, okay? So what is anitzei pishtan? Question 14. Why are anitzei pishtan pshulim uschach? Rashi and Tosfos, because they're makabel tumas negoim. Because they're string, and they're made out of pishtan, special gzeres hakosev, that it could be makabel tumas negoim, nigei begadim. The Rambam disagrees. We're not discussing tumas negoim with regards to schach. That's too far in the spectrum of tumah. Rather, Rambam says it's because it's been altered from its natural state. It's no longer considered to be gidulei karka. What ne'ezen afkamina yesh beinayim? The difference will be, the Shilta Givarim says, if it's been altered, but it grows from the ground, and it's not flax. So it's not makabel tumas negoim, like paper or string. And it's made out of hemp and cotton. These things are not makabel tumas negoim, but it has been altered and been changed. The Rambam would say that's no good. Rashi and Tosfos would not have a problem with it. We're machmir, by the way. Okay. 15. Oh, this is Yogim Amad Aleph. The Mishnah in Yogim Amad Aleph discusses. Oh, no, it was earlier. Yeah, it was on Yubez Amad Aleph. The Mishnah on Yubez Amad Aleph discussed using bundles of stuff that grows from the ground as schach, but it's bundled up. Gemara said you shouldn't do that because of Xeras Ha'oitzer. You might put it up there to dry, and then you'll leave it there and use it for schach. And the problem is, if you put it up there to dry, you didn't put it for shade. So that's no good. You have to, and even if you later think for shade, it's tasev lo min ha'asui. It became, the sukkah happened passively and not actively. Okay, so you can't use bundles. Bundles are no good. You might put it up there to dry, that's not for sale, and then it'll be no good for schach. So, question 15 was, which two ways is the eged, is the bundle that's no good for schach, different from the bundle of hyssop branches that's used for sprinkling the water of the para aduma. So the Gemara in Yigimah Medalev actually derives one from the other. The Gemara makes many comparisons between the eged, the bundle, again, nothing to do with lulav tzarich eged, but the bundle that's used for sprinkling, they used hyssop branches to sprinkle the water of the mechatos, the para aduma. So that was a bundle, and the bundle over here is no good for schach, and the Gemara derives things back and forth, but there's two differences between them. The first is that the Gemara says with regards to the bundle of that's no good for schach, that eged bidei shamayim is not considered to be an eged. If it just grows like that, three branches on one stem, that's not an eged. That's not a bundle. However, the Mishnah says in Masechtas Para, when you're discussing sprinkling the paraduma waters, eged bidei shamayim is an eged. That's good enough for a bundle to sprinkle. So one difference is, by paraduma, eged bidei shamayim is an eged. Here, by gzeiras oitzer, using bundles for schach, eged bidei shamayim is not an eged. Second difference is, according to the Rambam, our Gemara says that in order to be an eged for paraduma is enough with three stems in one bundle. However, with regards to gzeiras oitzer, the Rambam derives from the Talmud Yushalmi, you need 25. 25 is considered a bundle, not three. Why there are there these two differences between them? That was the second part of the question. So it's explained, the reason is obvious. Is because here, the whole reason is you might put it up there to dry. So then it only applies to things that people put up to dry. Nobody puts up to dry a eged bidei shamayim if it grows like that. It's only if you bind it together, you put it up there to dry. Or nobody puts up to dry three branches. You only put up to dry more than three, like 25. That people put up to dry. So it's not really the same, because here it's only a din midrabanan. You might put it up there to dry, and then you won't be. You decide later to use it for schach. Okay? So question 15. What two ways is it different? Is the bundle of gzeiras oitzer, if you can't use bundles for schach, you might put it up there to dry, and then you'll leave it there. So why? How is that different from a bundle for sprinkling the waters of the paraduma? Number one, it's different because eged bidei shamayim, if it just grows like that, that's a good bundle for paraduma. No, that's not gzeiras oitzer for schach. Number two, for paraduma, is enough with three stems. For gzeiras oitzer, in order to be no good for schach, would have to be 25, according to the Rambam. Why are there these two differences? Because here we're only describing a dimmi d'rabbanan. You might put it up there to dry, so it only applies to more branches and something that you bound later together, not something that grows that way. Okay, question 16. What is a machlekes rishonim regarding mara for the leil haseder? So that's an Aruch Gemara of all places, not himself. But the Gemara says over here, you can use mara, with regards to the paraduma, you need hyssop branches, azov. But if it has another nickname, a descriptive term, Azov Yavon, Azov somewhere else, Azov Romi, that's not a hyssop. When the Torah said hyssop, it's describing plain, old, generic hyssop branches. Nonetheless, the Gemara says you can use Maror for Pesach, you can use Maror da'agma. Even though it has a nickname, it's still considered Maror, because that's not a real nickname, it just happens to be that it grows in the swamp. It's not different than regular mara. It's the same as regular mara, just it grows in the swamp. So on this Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, he says, how can we even compare the two? Mara is not a pronoun. It's not the name of a vegetable. Azov is a hyssop branch. It's a pronoun. It's a name of something. So you need that name, not something with a nickname. Maror, the pasuk just says, al matzos umrorim yachluhu. You should eat the Karban Pesach with matzah and with mrorim, bitter herbs. So it should be bitter vegetables. And in fact, Rashi writes on Chumash, the Meiri here, any bitter vegetable would qualify. It's not limited to a specific vegetables. It's anything that's any bitter vegetable. So therefore, asks Rabbi Akiva Eger, how could our Gemara say we would even have thought we'd have a problem with mora that grows in the swamp. As long as it's mora, that's fine. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, I'm sorry, the Sfasemis explains that it's because I might have thought that if it's called by a nickname, it's not that bitter. If it's mora da'agma, why is it called mora da'agma? Because it's not as bitter as regular mora. Kamash malan, that no, it is just as bitter, it just happens to be found in the swamp. Okay, that's how Rashi and the Meiri would learn Agamara. We would have thought it's not so bitter. Kamash malan, it's just as bitter, it's just found somewhere else. But mora means any bitter vegetable. However, the Magen Avraham derives from Arik Gemara that mora is only, how could the Gemara compare it to Ezov? The Ezov is a specific item, and the Gemara says if it has another descriptive term, then that's not the specific item. And the Gemara says mora in the same discussion. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says must be mora's specific vegetables. It's a class of vegetables. It is a pronoun. Mora means, and the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim lists five vegetables. So it's those five and none others. That's what it must mean. That and they're called maror, but they don't necessarily have to be bitter. It's these five vegetables and no other vegetables. So, in which case, the maror is just describing these five, and that's why the Gemara thought, well, if it has a nickname, it's not one of these five. Kamash malan, it is one of these five. It's just found in the swamp, so it's still good. So what will the two differences be between these two ways of viewing maror? There'll be two big differences. Even if you're using something on the list, the two differences will be, number one, does it have to be bitter? Because some argued, even if the romaine lettuce is chazeres, one of the five, it starts off as sweet and later becomes bitter. The Gemara says, like our time in Mitzrayim started off pleasant and then became bitter. So do you have to wait for the lettuce to be bitter? Or can you even eat it when it's sweet? So some Paiskim held, that's the traditional way of understanding it, is that, no, you can even eat it when it's sweet because it's the Torah is describing when it says mora, it means these five vegetables. So even if it's sweet, it's still okay. That's what the Torah is describing. However, if it's like Rashi, that we're describing any bitter vegetable, bitter herbs, so then it probably has to be eaten when it's bitter. That's probably a point, is to eat it when it's bitter. Oh. So then you have to wait till the lettuce becomes bitter. That's why some were opposed to eating the romaine lettuce, because it doesn't taste bitter. But the traditional way of viewing it is that, no, these five vegetables, whether they're bitter or not. Another difference will be, as we mentioned already, can you include new vegetables that are just bitter? So if it's all bitter vegetables, like Rashi said, so then, and we just thought in Agamar, Gemara, maybe it's not so bitter if it's found in the swamp, Kamash Malan, it is just as bitter, so then it's any bitter vegetable. According to the other way of viewing it, it's these five vegetables and that's it. That's why many argued with the horseradish that was never found in the times of the Mishnah, so it can't be that horseradish is one of the five bitter vegetables. So some said, well, it doesn't matter, even if it wasn't one of the five, they added it later, it's still bitter. And others argue that it's not bitter, it's sharp, and a whole discussion, right? Seder Torah. Fine, so we have two ways of viewing this halacha, mora based on Agamara. So one possibility is that mora means any bitter vegetable. And Agamara thought maybe it's not so bitter, Kamash Mulan, that it's just as bitter as everything else. The other way of viewing mora is, no, it's five specific vegetables. It's a pronoun, just like Azov. It's referring to a specific item. And we thought if it's found in the Agma, it's not that specific item. Kamash Malan, it is the same specific item. So Machlek, it says Mara, any bitter vegetable? Or is it specific vegetables? Two differences. Can you use other vegetables that are not part of the five mentioned in the Mishnah? It just happens to be bitter. And do the five in the Mishnah have to be bitter? Those are the two differences. Okay. 17. The Gemara in Yud Gimel Mevez says in this discussion of Mara, that you can't use romaine lettuce as schach. Why can't you use it? That's the first part of the question. Amai ein mesachim b'yirakush amu chachamim adam yaitze b'han yidei chavaz b'pesach. Why can't you use it? So Gemara says, because it's going to fall down and it'll be left with nothing. It'll be air. So that's why the Gemara says it's no good. It's no good because it's going to fall down. That's the first part of the question. Is this a psul de raisa or a psul de rabbanon? What are they arguing? What are the Rishonim arguing about? So Rashi and Tosfos say it's a psul de rabbanon. When it will fall down, it'll be a problem. Other Rishonim say, the Ritva, the Rambam, that it's a problem midoy raisa. Why should it be a problem midoy raisa if it's there now? The romaine lettuce is there now, it grows from the ground. Why should it be a problem midoy raisa before it falls? So Prima Gadim explains, because the sukkah can't last for 7 days. And a sukkah has to be usable for 7 days. That's a Gemara later on, that you can't build a sukkah in a tree or on an animal. Because you can't climb into the tree on Yontif or on the animal on Yontif. You might break off a branch and whip the animal, or break off a branch as you're climbing the tree. You're not allowed to climb trees on Shabbos or ride horses on Shabbos. So since you can't get in the sukkah on Shabbos or Yontif, only Chol HaMoed, that's no good for sukkah. Pasuk says, Basukas teishvu shivas yamim. You need a sukkah haru'uyo l'shiva. A sukkah that can last for 7 days. This sukkah can't last for 7 days. So, okay, why then do other Rishonim argue that it's only possible with the Rabbanon? So we explain the name of the Binyan Shlomo. The only time you need a sukkah Ra'uyu L'shiva is that you should be able to walk into the sukkah for 7 days. Like your house, you can walk into whenever you want. But if Davar said that the sukkah has to be kosher for 7 days, that it never said in the Gemara. So that's why some Rishonim disagree. Here we're only discussing a psul de Rabbanon. Okay, so why can't you use vegetables as schach? Because the vegetables will fall down, and you'll be left with no schach. Some Rishonim say that's only a psul mid rabbanon. Some Rishonim, because when it falls down, it'll be a problem, so you shouldn't use it now, because when it falls down, it'll be a problem. Some Rishonim said it's a psul d'oraisa, because you can't use the sukkah for 7 days, just like a sukkah in a tree or on an animal. And other Rishonim said that the rule of sukkah ruyu l'shiva is that you should be able to walk into it all 7 days. Not if it's on a tree or on an animal. But never does it say that the sukkah has to be kosher for all 7 days. And in fact, we showed other cases where the sukkah is not kosher all 7 days, and it's still okay. So it never says that the sukkah has to be kosher all 7 days, just you have to be able to use it. That's 17. 18. Rashi asks in that Gemara, why does the Gemara say only that you can't use the vegetables because they're going to fall down? Aren't they food? And food is mekabel tuma. So Rashi answers, why doesn't the Gemara say it's no good because mekabel tuma? So Rashi's explanation is because no person eats it, only animals. Romaine lettuce is made for animals, not for human consumption. I guess this is in the days before salads, right? All right. According to Tosfos, says it's no good for a different reason. Tosfos says it's no good. Tosfos says it's not a problem of mekabel tuma because we're talking about before water fell on their lettuce, so it's not hukshar lekabalas tuma. So Rashi says because not my chaladam, people don't eat salads, only animals, and Tosfos says because it's not hukshar lekabalas tuma. What are they arguing about? So we explained that Tosfos feels it's not similar to Psoilas Gerin V'Yekev. Psoilas Gerin V'Yekev is never... I'm sorry. Rashi feels you can't say that it's because it's not Hukshar L'Kabal Tumah, because the water hasn't fallen on it yet. So therefore, it's not Makabal Tumah. It's not... It will be Makabal Tumah later on when water falls on it. So it's already not similar to Psoilas Gerin V'Yekev. And Tosfos would argue, again, with the issue we mentioned before, that the only time it's a problem of not makabel, if something is makabel tuma, is only a problem if it's actively makabel tuma. That's why Tosfos felt, even if it's makabel tuma midrabanan, it's a problem. The problem is if it's makabel tuma, that's the reason it's no good. If it's not makabel tuma, then it's fine. So if it's makabel tuma midrabanan, it's a problem. And if it's not hukshar yet, it's not ready, it's not, hasn't fulfilled the prerequisites yet for kabbalah tuma, you're okay. Kabbalah's tumah is itself the problem. And Rashi feels, no, that's an indicator that it's not similar to Psoilas Gerin V'Yekev. So even if it's not makabel tumah actively, when water will fall on it, it will be makabel tumah, that's a problem, okay? So why didn't we say these vegetables are no good? Because they're makabel tumah. Rashi says because not fit for consumption by human beings. Tosfos says, because not hukshar l'kabbalah's tumah. And the machlekes is, what is the reason that you can't use something that's makabel tumah? Is it because it's not similar to Psoilas Gerin V'Yekev? in which case, even if it's not, hasn't fulfilled the prerequisites, it's an indicator that it's not similar to what we're describing, it's good for schach, or, according to Taisvis, it's because it's not actively makabel tumma. That's what we derive from the pasuk of Pesach Karbi Yekov. It can't be actively makabel tumma. But if it's actively makabel tumma, it's a problem. If it's not actively makabel tumma, it's okay. Okay, 19. This is the board. We're now in recent history. So the Mishnah told us in Yedarim and Aleph that you can't use, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can use boards for schach. According to Meir, you can't. But we paskin like Shmuel, that according, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the only time boards are a problem is if they're four tefachim wide. If they're less than four tefachim wide, it's fine. Why can't you use boards? So the reason you can't use boards, Rashi explains, is because you might come to confuse it with your house. And people will say, if you can sit under the boards, boards are used in building homes. People say, if you can sit under the boards, you can sit in your house. The Pasuk says, but sukkah is teishu, not sukkah v'loy bayis. You can't sit in your house of the whole year, either because it wasn't made for tzeo, it was made for dira, or because it's permanent dwelling, whatever it is. Okay, so why can't you use boards as schach? People will confuse it with sitting in a house, which is no good. Plus it says basukais and not sukkah v'loy bayis. So people will confuse it with their home. Which nesarim are no good for schach? So the we passing Rabbi Yehuda, we passing like Shmuel, that it's only boards that are four tefachim wide. However, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch quote a minag not to use boards that are even less than four tefachim wide. Because people use them in building. At the times of the Gemara, maybe they only use boards that are four tefachim wide. We use boards that are less. However, the Gemara said, less than four tefachim wide, we also have a meaning not to use it. However, Shlomo Zalman argued that if it's less than a tefach or less, then no one even uses that in building. Or certainly they don't use it in building anymore in our times without plaster on top and insulation. So no one's going to confuse that with their home. So boards that are four tefachim wide are a problem. Even less than four, the minig is not to use them. But Shlomo Zalman claimed if it's a tefach or less, that the minig was to use it. But some didn't have the minig even that. But that was what Shlomo Zalman claimed. Okay? So boards that are four tefachim wide, medina are no good. A minig, even less than four. And Shlomo Zalman claimed the minig never extended to boards that are a tefach or less. Question 20. Oh yeah, so the Gemara says over here in Daf Yudarim and Beis that what are you talking about? You can't use boards that are four tefachim wide. Rabbi Yehuda says it was a Maisa b'shas ha'sakana that they brought boards, religious persecution. They brought boards that were four tefachim wide. We sat underneath it and everybody was fine. Nobody made a big deal about it. So he said, you see, you can even use boards that are four tefachim wide. So Gemara says, ain't shas ha'sakana raya. What they did in a time of religious persecution is not a proof. Why is that not a proof? Just because it was done in a time of religious persecution. So the Ritva explains, that's part of the question over here, 20. Amayin mevin raya mishas ha'sakana shtichu b'nisarim sh'nisachim b'nisarim afil sh'lo b'shas ha'sakana. Why can't you bring a raya from the fact that they used boards at a time of shas ha'sakana? That even throughout the rest of the year, when it's not religious persecution, you can use boards, according to the Ritva, because the Ritva says, really, boards are good midoraisa. It's because we're afraid people will confuse it with their home. So since it's good midoraisa, and shas ha'sakana, we can rely on the din doraisa. But that has nothing to say about the rest of the year when it's not a religious persecution, if you could use it. Time of religious persecution will be merkel on the din derabanan and rely on the din derayisa. Taisvis disagrees throughout Masechta Sukkah, and Taisvis' opinion early on Daf Gimel. Taisvis' opinion is whenever Chazal said not to do something, they redefine the mitzvah midayraisa. If Chazal said not to sit in a sukkah with your table in the house because you might get pulled after your table into the house. So then you can't, if you sit in the sukkah, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah. Or if you lay in Kriya Shema after Chatzos HaLaila, Chazal said to lay in it before, because you might forget if you wait too long. If you lay in it after Chatzos, Rabbeinu Yonah Masechta Brachah says, you're not in fulfillment of Kriya Shema. They obliterated, they redefined the entire mitzvah, midrabanan. The mitzvah deraisa is gone. So according to Tosfos, how could they sit there b'shas hasakana? And if they sat there b'shas hasakana, can't you bring a proof from there that it's good the whole year? Because the mitzvah midrabanan is gone. So we said, no, for Tosfos, it could be that they sat there. The reason why I can't bring a proof from b'shas hasakana is because even if there's no mitzvah, we don't want people to forget about the mitzvah, so we did a zecher to the mitzvah. The Gemara says later on, to be sure to be discussed in the third perek, that if you have only a dried out lulav, which is no good, or you don't have a kosher esrig, the Gemara says still you should take it as a zecher to the mitzvah. Otherwise, people will forget about the alaminim, and you can even make a bracha on it. So, according to Tosfos, you know why they sat here? Because what else are we going to do? Not sit in sukkah and a sukkahs? But are you in fulfillment of the mitzvah? No, garnished. So that's why you can't bring a proof from here. So according to the Ritva, that's okay, recap. Why can't you bring a proof from Mishas HaZakana? The Ritva says, because we're relying on the mitzvah midrashisa. But the whole year, there's an Issa midrabanan to use boards. But the time of Sakana will be Meichel on the Issa midrabanan, and you can fulfill the mitzvah at least on a level of midrashisa. Tosfos can't say like that, because Tosfos holds, once they said it in the midrabanan, they redefines the mitzvah midrashisa is gone. So then why can't you bring a proof from here? If they're sitting in the sukkah, there must be that it's good. The answer is, because sometimes, even if there's no mitzvah midrashisa, we would do the mitzvah as a zecher. It's a remembrance of the mitzvah, not to forget it. Jewish style, right? Kosher style. Even if you're not in fulfillment of anything. Okay, that was 20. Skip 21 with test vav and base. Oh, yeah. So the Mishnah says at the bottom of Tezvav and Aleph, if you have half schach kosher, half schach poso, so the sukkah is kosher. I don't know, it's no good. That was the machlekes in the Gemara. Is it good? Is it no good? So Tosfos says, how can we have a discussion about half schach kosher, half schach poso, whether or not that's good? How can you ever have half and half? Can we be so exact? So Tosfos says, as a Gemara, Machlekes in Gemara Bechairis, what do you do about Bechar Behemah Tahira, the firstborn of an animal that's a kosher animal you have to give to the Kohen? If two animals are born at the same time, do you give both to the Kohen, only one? Machlekes in the Gemara, Efshel Tzamtzem or E Efshel Tzamtzem. Is it possible for two boys or two animals to be born at the same time? Or not? So that's Machlekes. Can things happen in such exact fashion that would have two at the same time? So Tosfos says, our Gemara is a proof only according to the one who holds Efshel Tzamtzem. How else can we describe a situation of exactly half Schach Kosher, exactly half Schach Posel? Couldn't even have the discussion. The only discussion only makes sense according to the Ma'an Yomar, Efshel Litzamzen. Okay, so that's question 21. Mehechon Achiyach Batosis, Besugin, how does Tosfos prove from our Sugya like the opinion Efshel Litzamzen? It is possible to be exact. Because otherwise, how can we have a discussion about half Schach Kosher, half Schach Posel? Must be Efshel Litzamzen. The thing can happen in a very exact manner. The Minchaschinuch disagrees with Tosfos. He says the two discussions have nothing to do with one another. When we're discussing if two babies could be born at the same time, that's discussing an event. Can events happen with such exactitude? Or even if people orchestrated it, can things happen with such a level of precision? However, here we're discussing what is the halacha? What did the Torah tell us? So we're discussing, what did the Torah tell us? It goes based on perception. Even if it's not exact, it's the way we perceive it. Just like bugs. If we don't see the bug, it doesn't exist. If our tefillin are square, it appears to us to be square. That's square. Otherwise, what did the Torah tell us? The Torah wasn't given to Malachim. We should be able to do it with exact precision. Not possible. So it's obviously the way it appears to us. So too, half schach kosher, half schach posel, the way that it appears to us. Has nothing to do, the Gemara in the Bechairis is discussing, can events occur with such precision that two babies be born at the same time? That's a separate discussion. That's not a discussion about what did the Torah tell us. That's a discussion, do events occur in such, can things happen so precisely? Okay, so Tosfos proves, From our Gemara, like the opinion, Epshel Litzamtzem, things happen in a very precise fashion. Otherwise, how can we discuss half schach kosher, half schach posel? Exactly. How could it be? As Minchas Chinuch says, when we're discussing what did the Torah tell us, how much schach kosher do you need, or what's a bug, or what's square tefillin, then it goes based on our perception. That has nothing to do with the discussion in Becheres about an event that occurred, not what did the Torah tell us. An event that occurred where two babies were born at the same time, whether Efshel Litzamtzem or E-Efshel Litzamtzem, is that possible? One discussion has nothing to do with the other. One is an event, one is what did the Torah tell us. Okay, 22. On Tezvav and Mabez, the Gemara says, you can't use garments for Schach. Because garments are makabel tumah. Even if it's stuff that grows from the ground, it's no good. What about worn out garments that nobody would wear anymore? So Gemara says you can't use those either. The Rambam says, because you might come to confuse it with garments that are not worn out. Logical argument. Not that he needs my eskama. The Ramban says it's because it's not similar to things that grow from the ground. Worn out garments were once makabel tumah. So we explained that they're arguing about the same old discussion we've had a few times already, which is what did we derive from Soilis Garin VeYekev? You need items that are not makabel tumah. Is the problem because it's makabel tumah actively now? In which case, these worn out garments that are not makabel tumah actively now should be okay. The Rambam had to therefore say that the worn-out garments are no good because you might confuse it with non-worn-out garments, with usable garments. Or do we derive from Solos Garin VeYekev that you need stuff that was, if it's Makabel Tumah, that's a simon, that's an indicator that's not similar to Solos Garin VeYekev. So that doesn't matter whether it's actively Makabel Tumah now or not. It's still not similar to Solos Garin VeYekev. That's the Ramban. Ramban says these were once makabel tumah. It's no longer similar to Psoas Garin VeYekev. And the problem with Psoas Garin VeYekev with makabel tumah is not because it's actively makabel tumah. It's an indicator that it's just not what the Torah is describing, which is good for schach. Okay, so what's the machlekes regarding worn out garments? Rambam says you might come to confuse it with garments. Why are they no good for schach? They're not makabel tumah anymore. The Rambam says you might confuse it with things that are makabel tumah. The Ramban says it's not similar to Psoas Garin VeYekev. And they're arguing about what is the reason you can't use something that's makabel tumah. Is the reason you can't use something that's makabel tumah for schach because it's makabel tumah and these garments are not makabel tumah? In which case you have to say other reasons because you might confuse it with other garments that are. Or is it because something's makabel tumah is not similar to Psoas Garin VeYekev, and then over here these garments were once makabel tumah, even though they're not actually makabel tumah, it's no longer similar to Psoas Garin VeYekev. Okay, last thing, 23. The Gemara says on Tezayin Amud Aleph, if you have a hay pile that you carve out a sukkah from amidst the hay pile, even though hay grows from the ground, not makabel tumah, should be good, but you carve it out from a big hay pile, that's no good for schach. No good for a sukkah. That's the Gemara says. What is the opinion of the Rambam, though? When would this possibly be good? So the Rambam implies that if you put the hay pile down for a sukkah or for shade, then you can carve out your sukkah from the pile and it would be good. Why? So the Emek Bracha explains that it's because carving out a sukkah is active. That's not tasev lo mina asoy. That's not passive. That's not like putting a branch on the top of the sukkah and then cutting off the branch. That's pretty passive. Here you're carving out a sukkah. What difference does it make if I build a sukkah or carve it out? That's active. It's not tasev lo mina asoy. The only problem with chaytid begodish, carving out a sukkah, is because the top layer of the hay wasn't put there for shade. It was put there as a hay pile for the horse. But the Rambam feels, if I put it there for shade, it's okay. So I solved both problems. I put it there for shade, and I did an action. What did I do? I carved out a sukkah. That's not tasev lo mina asoy. That's not passive. That's active. And the other Rishonim disagree. Nobody else accepts this. Either because you can't have shade in a pile of hay. That's not shade. How can you call it shade if there's a big pile? You're not shading on anything. And maybe this is not active. Maybe digging out from a pile is still called passive. You actually have to construct the walls and put the roof on top. Not that you carved out from amidst the pile. But that was the opinion of the Rambam. Opinion of Rambam is, if you put the pile there for sale and you dig it out, it's okay. Because digging out is called active. and you put it there for sale, so you made it for shade. Okay, so Thursday, maybe 10 o'clock. Is that a good